Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. 143 million people, nearly half the country, may be victims of a massive cyber attack against Equifax, one of the country's three major credit reporting agencies. Now, names, social security numbers, driver's license numbers, tons of critical personal information are currently in the hands of hackers. And wait, it gets even better. Equifax waited 6 weeks to disclose the breach. It hasn't explained the delay. And three Equifax executives sold shares before disclosing the breach to the public. They netted $1.8 million in the sale. And oh, there's even more. This is the third time the company has been hacked since 2015. And on the company's website today, CEO Rick Smith posted a video where he says,
"This is clearly a disappointing event and one that strikes at the heart of who we are and what we do. I deeply regret this incident."
I would say regret only begins to describe how Equifax should be feeling right now. Joining us to help us understand exactly how all this happened is Jonathan Zittrain, co-founder and director of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard. Jonathan, it's great to have you back.
Thank you, Meghna. Now the Berkman Klein Center.
Forgive me. The Berkman Klein Center. I blinked and that happened. Okay. So I will not make that mistake again. And in fact, you know what? I will tell the entire listening public that it was written properly in my script and I just screwed it up. Okay.
Also, no worries. It's not like you released 140 million.
Yes, in the grand scale of things, I think I'm still okay here. Well, joining us as well is Hiawatha Bray. He's the Boston Globe's tech writer. Hiawatha, it's good to have you as well.
Good to be here.
Okay, so let me first, Jonathan, let me just start with you. How significant? I mean, you heard me just freak out over this, but how significant is this particular cyber attack?
Well, to put it in today's vernacular, I'd say it's pretty much a Category 5, and it's just a token, perhaps, of how inured we've become to these kinds of incidences and, you know, 143 million records. It's just at one point you stop counting that maybe we feel more complacent about it. But it's the kind of thing that shows just how structurally deficient our cybersecurity is, even for collections of records that you would think would have the biggest possible lock you could put on them.
Right. So Hiawatha, I mean, that's one of the things that's really incensed 143 million people here is that, you know, this isn't the first time even that this has happened to Equifax. This is the third time.
Yes, and similar things have happened, of course, to countless other companies as well, not in the credit reporting field. The biggest one I can find before this was Anthem, the health insurance company, where something like 80 million people's data was compromised. And, you know, one of the things that you have to remember about this that's really crucially important is that once this information is gone, the potential danger never goes away until they seal the box and stick you in the ground because your social security number is going to be with you for the rest of your life. And this data is going to be out there following you around from now on, and people could be abusing it 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now. It's really quite a huge problem. And by the way, you said almost half the population. I wanted to narrow it down a little bit. It's more like something like 58% of the adult population.
Yeah.
The adult population, more than half of the grown-ups in America have had their data breached right
and
now.
I guess
that's pretty
you
scary.
Might say there's a certain democratizing quality to it. It sweeps enough people into the boat
exactly.
That maybe we all agree we need a bigger boat.
Okay. But,
absolutely.
But, I mean, so this just seems like such a gauche question, but I have to ask it anyway. I mean, why does this keep happening? And you know, as you have both pointed out, a company like Equifax, Jonathan, as you were saying, you would think that because of the very nature of what it does and the kind of information that it collects about us, by the way, we are not their customers, we are their data, why aren't they more secure?
It is puzzling to me that it was in 2016 that a researcher found some very basic vulnerabilities in Equifax's website, called it a weird mix of IBM WebSphere, Apache Struts, Java. It's like stepping back in time a decade, and it's not the kind of time capsule you want to be experiencing for this kind of stuff. And I think really we might look at the incentives must be wrong here. Mm. The kinds of incentives that a company like Equifax ought to have up front to be able to be prepared for these kinds of attacks, to make it worth whatever it takes to get a chief information security officer on board, to invest in the right program, These incentives don't exist, and partly it's because, I think, of lax regulation.
Yeah.
The price Equifax may pay will be tempered by the new customers they'll get after the free trial period of people now signing up for credit monitoring services. And I don't mean Yeah, go ahead, Hiawatha.
No, I was going to say, this really is kind of outrageous if you think about it. They're going to give you a year's worth of credit monitoring. And then from then on, if you want to be protected from this kind of thing and get any kind of protection at all, they would charge you $20 a month.
Yeah.
From then on.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's like putting a window on the barn door after the horse has left.
Absolutely. And somebody I talked to made a fascinating point. Much the same kind of service is provided right now by banks and credit card companies as a matter of course, and you don't pay a special fee for it. They have things like if somebody uses your number in a place they don't think it's supposed to be used in, you instantly get an alert, or they'll lock your credit card and keep somebody from using it. And you don't have to pay a fee to have that service performed. They just do it. Why do we have to pay a fee to have our credit monitoring made available to us? It doesn't make sense.
Exactly. So let me ask you both. I mean, there's so many aspects of this story which honestly, it makes my blood boil. It's one thing to say, like, could Equifax, why didn't Equifax keep up with the ever-accelerating arms race when it comes to cybersecurity? But Jonathan, I think you rightly pointed out there was this weird sort of back to the future kind of feel to their website in terms of security. But then there's also the issue of they waited 6 weeks, 6 weeks to make public this breach. I mean, that's kind of astonishing. That's 6 weeks of people that, not being able to take action because they didn't know something had happened.
I can only imagine that it's a form of corporate paralysis where they're just trying to figure out, like, who should take responsibility within the company to do what? Who are they supposed to tell first? They're a publicly held company.
Yeah, but isn't
this
that
is not
illegal?
Making excuse? Oh, sorry. You mean
I don't know.
Stuff?
I was just going to ask you a question. Isn't that legal issue? Because don't they have to report that, at least according to the laws of a number of states, including our own?
Only eight states, I see.
If you're sitting on top of material non-public information that could greatly affect the fortunes of a publicly held company, you bet you have responsibilities. And I find myself thinking that the executives who are on record as having sold shares in between the event and the public knowledge of it, I can only assume they didn't know, because if they did know, they will likely have to lawyer up pretty quickly.
I think they're going to have to lawyer up, because all the reporting is saying that this wasn't part of a pre-negotiated sale, sale of those shares.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, but wait a minute.
Who knows?
I was thinking,
go ahead.
Isn't this covered by the laws in this state and other states that require the reporting of such data breaches in a fairly timely manner?
So to that point, Hiawatha, the LA Times here reports that it's eight states, Connecticut, Florida, Maine, New Mexico, Ohio, Rhode Island, Tennessee, and Vermont. They don't include Massachusetts there, that have a firm deadline on how fast companies have to inform consumers of a breach, 30 to 90 days after its discovery.
Right.
And they didn't do that.
That's what I mean. And I thought ours was more specific, but we do have laws in this state that require that you reveal this kind of thing. I'm not sure where the state is, I mean, what the current state of federal law is on this, but if there isn't a law that requires early revealing of this kind of information, there jolly well ought to be. And there ought to be other laws, too.
Closest thing in the federal law, I think, would be, again, under the securities regulations about reporting to your investors. Those would be the wronged parties. California had taken the lead in 2002 with so-called SB 1386, which does require companies like this to alert customers. And there's also a certain art that has come about on it. It's like send them a little newsletter with dense print and a coupon and be, oh, and by the way, we lost all your information.
No, I'm sorry. I know. We're just stepping on each other here. I'm sorry. But there's another point that I think really has to be made that I think is extremely important here, which is none of us signed up for this.
Exactly.
There are three companies, this one, Experian, and TransUnion, and they're out there collecting the most incredibly sensitive information about every one of us, and none of us asked them to. We have no say on the fact that they're doing it. They just do it.
It's a good observation. We shouldn't say these are how many, quote, customers affected. These are just people, citizens affected, because you're right. They're
exactly.
not directly in privity with the companies. Now, of course,
we're not
for
their
decades,
customers. We're
for
their product.
It's but for decades, federal law has recognized the kind of outsize position and power that the credit bureaus have. The Fair Credit Reporting Act of 1972 was recognizing the power and trying to have it used responsibly. My guess is you'll see a stampede of politicians and of our regulatory institutions. This is, again, kind of an Exxon Valdez-sized spill. This is in the capturing the public imagination. all of these regulators are themselves wondering if they've been breached. You'll see that stampede of examining, do we need tighter regulation? Do we need some incentives for these companies? And more broadly, is our generally outdated mode of identifying ourselves to one another, to big institutions like banks, to the government, and vice versa, in need of a systemic upgrade? And the answer there is surely yes. And that is a complicated puzzle. And that's one of the reasons it hasn't been done yet.
Hey, Hiawatha, did you
well,
have
I'm
a
sure
thought
how
on
you
that?
Saw-
yeah.
I'm sorry.
No,
I was about to ask.
You.
That's a tough one, and I don't know how you solve it, because whatever method for identifying a person you use, that's going to be it. The whole, as I said earlier on, once they've stolen your social security number, this problem never goes away, because that stolen data will be out there. Even if you use something other than the social security number, the same issue is going to exist. I mean, apart from possibly having some kind of genetic test every time you apply for credit,
I wouldn't want to abandon all hope. I think there are forms like physical tokens that people can come to possess, and if you lose the physical token, you have a lot of hassle to do it. I mean, the real worry here, less on any one individual being breached, is just how easy it would be to do it in bulk with all this data, and therefore reduce confidence in the system. I never thought I'd say, like, you know, gosh, maybe Bitcoin is more secure. Like, wow, you know, has it come to that? And I think the answer still is no, but, you know, it makes one think.
Absolutely. And, you know, to heap irony on top of insult, if that's a phrase, I mean, you know, when Equifax is asking, hey, we can sign you up for a year's worth of credit monitoring, but you have to give us 6 of your social security digits rather than just the customary 4. Why anyone would ever trust them with even more information is beyond me. But we've got just about a couple of seconds here left. I mean, Hiawatha, there's 143 million people now who are wondering what to do. I mean, what are some actions folks ought to be taking right now?
Well, there are all kinds of things that you can do. For example, putting a credit freeze on, but that costs money. They're going to give it to you free if you go through Equifax, but there are 3 credit bureaus, and to keep yourself safe, you'd have to do it at all 3, and you have to pay money to do this with the other 2.
It's a great idea, by the way, and it's money well spent, I'd say. And it's funny because $5 if you're in Massachusetts, and different states have different regulations on it. It's time to basically insist that it be free for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
One other quick thing I heard that's a great idea. Check with the IRS. If somebody's using your social security number to steal your tax returns, they can tell you. That's somebody else you should check with.
All right, so a big checklist of things to do, but they're all important to protect your identity and your personal information. Hiawatha Bray, tech writer for the Boston Globe, thank you so very much.
Oh, pleasure.
And Jonathan Zittrain, professor of internet law and co-founder and director of the Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
A pleasure, Meghna and Hiawatha.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.